today. This communion season, the theme that I have chosen is the theme of the three crosses. And last Lord's Day morning at our preparation service, we considered one of those men crucified with the Lord Jesus, and he was the rebel who never repented. God willing, this evening we will focus on the other man who was crucified with Jesus, who did repent. But for now, we turn our thoughts to that central cross at Calvary. John's Gospel tells us that when Jesus was crucified, there were two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. And it is that central cross on which our Lord Jesus was crucified, and the man who was crucified there, that is the all-important one. It is one who was crucified there on that central cross. It is his death that we remember today, all these years later, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Now, last week when I spoke about the unrepentant thief, I said that he was a man who had been a rebel in life, and that he continued to be a rebel in death, and also that he is a picture to ourselves of what we are like apart from the grace of God. We too are rebels. The Bible tells us that we are like sheep who have gone astray. We are always choosing and turning to our own way rather than God's way. But when we come to consider the central cross and consider the man crucified on that central cross, we see something that is very, very different. We don't see any rebellion in Jesus, the Son of God. But rather, what we see is submissive obedience. And I want to reflect on the Lord Jesus along the same lines as last week we reflected upon the unrepentant rebel. He was a man who was a rebel in life, but when we examine Jesus, we see that instead he was obedient in life. So that's the first thing I want to speak about today. Obedient in life. For the first 30 years or so of his earthly life, Jesus lived in obscurity. He lived away from the public eye. He wasn't in the news. People weren't talking about him. For about 11,000 days, Jesus lived that kind of life. And we know very few details about what his life was like in those first 30 years. 11,000 days of nothing all that newsworthy happening. Ordinary days. Many of our days are ordinary days, mundane, routine, and unremarkable. And the Son of God knows what those days are like. That's what most of his days were like. The Lord Jesus knew what it was as a child to be subject to his parents. Luke, the gospel writer, tells us that that's what Jesus was when he went back with them to Nazareth. After that time, when he was 12 years old, that he visited the temple at Jerusalem. Well, eventually, the time came for those kind of days to finish. And Jesus began about 3 years of public ministry, about 1,000 days, 11,000 days of very, very ordinary days, and then 1,000 days when it always seemed like there was something happening. Jesus began his public ministry by going to be baptized by John the Baptist. And on that occasion, we're told in Matthew 3, verse 17, that suddenly a voice came from heaven. And the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." pleased. And it wasn't often that God spoke directly out of heaven, but he did on that occasion. And God the Father was speaking with warm approval about his obedient Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So those 30 years of ordinary days were days when Jesus had been obedient to his Father in heaven, and his Father in heaven was well pleased with what he had seen all those days. And God can be well pleased with us also in the ordinary days of life when we are looking to serve the Lord. Now, Christ's obedience did not cease when he set out upon public life. He didn't stop being obedient when he left home, when he moved away from his familiar family surroundings. As the Lord Jesus set about preaching and healing and training the 12, he continued to be obedient to his Father in heaven. And as the time began to draw near for our Lord to go towards Jerusalem where he knew he would die, in Matthew chapter 16, we're told in verse 21 that he begins to tell his disciples what to expect. And it says, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." And then shortly after that, he went up that high mountain with Peter, James, and John. And his whole appearance changed, and they saw Christ in his glory. And then once again, that voice, that same voice, came out of heaven. Matthew 17:5, it says, "Suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" So God continued to be well pleased with his obedient Son. God was well pleased with all that Jesus was doing. He was well pleased with all that Jesus was teaching. And throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus often spoke about how he didn't go about doing his own will, but how he did the will of him who sent him. And shortly before he laid down his life, Jesus was able to say in that great prayer that is recorded in John chapter 17, in verse 4, he says, "I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Jesus had obeyed his Father in all things. He had ticked all the boxes. He had done all that he was sent to do. He had obeyed in all things. And the life, the earthly life of the Lord Jesus was one of constant, submissive obedience. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, we are assured that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus was no rebel in life. He was consistently obedient. So our Lord was obedient in life. But then secondly, I want to say that he was obedient in death. That unrepentant rebel, he was a rebel in life and he was a rebel in death. And Jesus was neither. In his death, the Lord Jesus continued to be obedient to his Father in heaven. Matthew tells us how in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ had prayed, verse 39 of Matthew 26, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then a few verses later, verse 42, Jesus says, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And Jesus continues to be submissively obedient to his Father unto death. And the Lord submitted himself to all the horrible treatment that came his way from so many people at the time of his death, from the Jewish authorities and the ordinary people among the Jews, and from the Roman soldiers. And Christ was silent before his accusers. And when he was reviled by them, he did not retaliate against them. He fulfilled the things that he knew were written about him in the scriptures. Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And there was no lashing back by Jesus at those who were harming him and hurting him by their words and their actions. Jesus didn't have to apologize for anything that he did when he was dying for his people. When it came to the hardest part of our Lord's obedience, he didn't draw back. Though he felt himself to no longer be the beloved son, but he felt himself to be forsaken by his father, he continued to obey. In Philippians 2, verse 8, we're told that he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so we remember and reflect upon the fact that he who was always obedient in life was also obedient in death. And today we remember Christ's death with thanksgiving. And just as the unrepentant rebel remained the same in death as he had been in life, cursing God to the end, so Jesus remains the same in death as he was in life, doing the will of God to the end. Christ was obedient in life, and Christ was obedient in death. Then the third thing I want to speak about today is that in the death of Jesus, we have a picture of sin. When I spoke about the rebel who never repented, I said that in him we see a picture of ourselves as we are apart from the grace of God. Apart from the grace of God, we're just like that rebel on the cross, cursing God to the end. But today I want to say that in the cross, in the center, we see a picture of sin. And there are two things that I have in mind. First of all, it shows us, the central cross shows us what God thinks of sin. In the death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, we have it set before us that this is what God thinks of sin. Twice, God had spoken directly from heaven about the Lord Jesus. Twice he had declared him to be his beloved son with whom he was well pleased. There was no such voice on the day that Jesus hung upon the cross. Those who watched and enjoyed what they were seeing, those who mocked the Lord Jesus, they were not thinking to themselves, "Here is a man with whom God is well pleased." When the Lord Jesus died, he was not dying as someone who had merely been falsely accused, and where there had been a terrible miscarriage of justice. Jesus was dying deliberately. It was his choice, and it was the will of his Father in heaven. Jesus was dying as the deliberate sin bearer for his people. when he died, it was the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote of him in Isaiah 53, verse 6. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was the him. It was laid on him. He was the sin bearer. God tells us plainly in his word that the wages of sin, or the consequences of sin, is death. And the death that Jesus experienced was because the sin, the iniquity, the transgression, and the rebellion of others was being laid upon him. God had to punish that sin that had been laid upon Christ. And even when this was God's only begotten Son, God's dearly loved Son, God had to punish it. And Christ bore the sin of many. And when Christ bore the sin of many, Christ experienced the wrath of God against sin. In today's permissive society, many voices tell us that sin doesn't really matter, or that sin is actually a good thing, and we've got it wrong in the past. Well, the middle cross, the central cross, tells us that sin does matter, that sin is a big thing. And let us be very clear about this. If God could not overlook sin when it was his beloved Son who was found with that sin, well then, God is not going to overlook our sin. God is not going to overlook it as if it is not an issue. We need to see in the death of the Lord Jesus a picture of what God thinks of sin. The other thing I have in mind in speaking about the death of Jesus as being a picture of sin is this. It shows us how in the death of Christ, the sins of his people were fully dealt with. We see in the cross of Christ sin dealt with. Sin really matters to God, but at the cross, sin is dealt with. We have noted what God's consistent verdict was upon the life of Jesus. God was well pleased with the life of his beloved only begotten Son. It wasn't just that God had no fault to find with him. God saw everything and he liked everything that he saw. It wasn't just that it was not bad. It was entirely good in every way. God was delighted with everything that he saw in the Lord Jesus. And yet we find that Lord Jesus being put to death for sin. And so clearly, the sin was not his own. Sometimes in ordinary life, innocent people can be penalized for something that wasn't their fault at all. Sometimes things get placed in people's luggage or in their pockets. Things can be planted upon people, and those people are caught and they appear to be guilty. And perhaps the person who really was guilty escapes punishment completely. And in a sense, this is what happens with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has no sin. Everything that he has done has been entirely good. But then the sins of others, the sins of the guilty ones, are laid upon him. and Christ gets punished as if he is the guilty one. And when we consider this death of our Lord Jesus, if we are those who trust in him as our Savior, if we are trusting in Christ as our sin bearer, as our substitute, as the one who paid the ransom price for us, well then we can look to the cross and we can see our sins being dealt with fully on that cross. Our sins are many. And our sins are spread over all the days and weeks and months and years of our lives. And probably for all of us, there are some particularly dark periods, dark episodes when we've been shocked at the things that we have done. And those things have shown us just how wicked our hearts truly are. The writer of Psalm 130 says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" God kept a record of wrongs. What hope could we have of standing? And yet, in the next verse in that psalm, he says, "But there is forgiveness with you." And so it is. There is forgiveness to be found with the Lord God Almighty, because God the Son took the sins of his people upon himself. The Lord Jesus did what Isaiah wrote centuries earlier the suffering Savior would do. Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And so when you consider the central cross, do you see there the source of your healing? When you consider the central cross, do you see that there your sin was dealt with in full? The rebel alongside Jesus, who never repented, he can do you no good. He cannot bear your sins. Only Jesus is qualified to be your sin bearer if you're not going to bear your own sins. And Jesus died. Jesus died bearing the sins of many. If no one's sin had been laid upon Jesus, he wouldn't have died. There would have been no fault found with him. But he did die. He did die because he did bear the sins of others. He died bearing the sins of many. The scriptures tell us, and he died to bring many sons to glory. And that central cross on which our Lord Jesus died, his death is our great hope and our only hope. And in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness, and there is full forgiveness, because it is all of the sins of his people that Christ bears. For all who look to Christ, for all who believe in him, for all who hope in him, there is full forgiveness. And God, as he looked down upon heaven, and as he saw his Son dying there upon that cross, God was well pleased with the saving work of his Son. He showed it by raising him from the dead according to the scriptures. His death, like all he did, was done well. And in the death of Christ, his people find eternal life. The death of Jesus is a picture of sin. It shows us what God thinks of sin, and it shows us our sins dealt with fully. Let us be thankful to God for these great things.